ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. Let me greet you for this second session of our little seminar called Seeing Krishna Through the Eyes of the Devotees. Now we need to make a few technical arrangements. I believe you, Stavavali, is a little bit too loud. And let me see if you can hear properly. How do we actually do it, Stavavali? Just don't translate for a moment. Your voice is where there is one loudspeaker, and around this loudspeaker all the creation devotees are. Okay. Good. Hare Krishna. Today I will come to the session which is personally most dear to me. I feel if Krishna gives me the permission to speak today nicely about this, you will all leave this tent with really some jewels in your heart. I will today speak about a conversation between Krishna and his most elevated devotees, the gopis. But before I can delve into this subject matter, I would like to talk to you a little bit about spiritually very favorable times. In the Niti Shastras, it is said that there is a science of the right moment. That is, if you know when to start an activity and when to stop an activity, you will be very successful in your life. Often we don't know when to begin something, and we also don't know when it's time for us to stop with something. So the whole Vedic scriptures is full with these right moments. For instance, one right time is the time just before the sunrise. It starts 1.5 hours before sunrise and then goes right up to the time when the sun actually rises. I want to tell you personally that I'm very convinced about this time. It's called the Brahma Muhurta. And whenever you do a spiritual activity during this time, provided you are awake, then the activities which you do during this moment, this time, have so much more efficiency in your life. For instance, we in Krishna consciousness are encouraged to chant our rounds, which is our most important sadhana, at this time, the Brahma Muhurta time. I sincerely want to request those of you who are here during the summer camp to actually make an effort to rise early in the morning and chant your rounds during this time. And I can guarantee you, you will make a very nice experience. Again, I have to say, provided you are awake. If you are so tired and you're all the time fighting with the law of gravitation, you know, which pulls you towards the ground, then there may not be so much benefit in observing the Brahma Muhurta. But please try to make this experience in your spiritual life, to use this favorable time. I know we have many older devotees who here, who were once convinced of this principle, and then they fell into the trap of late night engagements. I'm one of these older devotees who's often active throughout the whole night, because that's when I can meet the people I need to meet. But here, for instance, whenever I get a chance to come to a temple, and I'm not, I'm fit, I notice that the science of the right moment when to do your sadhana is just so very, very, very strong. Please, even though you are mostly live outside temples and either work or study at the university, please try to observe the right moment of the Brahma Muhurta. At least try to catch the Brahma Muhurta as it exits out of the day. Just try to get the tip of the dhoti of the Brahma Muhurta and do your spiritual life. Now another right moment, it's actually the right month, is the month of Kartik. This year, Kartik starts, I believe it was around the 10th of October, am I correct? 7th of October, and it lasts for a whole month. Now, it is described in the Padma Purana that anyone who practices his sadhana during this month of Kartik and does an increased amount of sadhana will for sure obtain the mercy of Srimati Radharani and go back home, back to Godhead. Here are some examples of what you could do observe a Kartik Vrata. For instance, you could chant extra rounds. Or you could say that every day I read a chapter of the Krishna book. Or you can maybe also practice some renunciation. Maybe you feel you are becoming too fat, and it's anyways nice to observe a little fast. Then you can fast for the month of Kartik from sweets. It is very good to do some austerity. There is no end to the creativity which a devotee can display following this right time, the month of Kartik. Already, you know, when the Kartik Purnima, the full moon, starts, then you can feel there is a certain spiritual energy in the atmosphere which is never there before. I want to sincerely encourage you to make a note in your notebook of the 10th of October, and please try 1 month to increase your spiritual activities. You will see there will be a great, great change in your spiritual life. Maybe you will become a self-realized soul just by practicing Krishna consciousness in the month of Kartik. Especially you should practice in Vrindavan and amongst all the places in Vrindavan, if you get the chance to practice at Sridham Radhakund, then love of Godhead is guaranteed for you. We do it for 1 month. So, during the month of Kartik, a very, very important Leela of Krishna takes place, the Rasa Leela, which is the highest of Krishna's Leelas. And I would like to today talk about one episode in the Rasa Leela where the Lord reveals some of his heart to his devotees, and where he talks about something which I feel, if you understand this, your spiritual life will within a very short time reach perfection. You must know that Lord Krishna has a tendency to play flutes. God is likes flute playing, because the flute gives him the opportunity to express the love which is in his heart through his mouth, and then actually as he puts the flute to his lips, Krishna's love, which is there in the heart, comes into the mouth and in the melody which the flute expresses, and reaches the heart of his devotees. Actually, through Krishna's flute, he sends love messages, or loving calls to his devotees. For those who are more scientifically minded, they should know that everything rests upon sound vibration of the frequency of vibrations, which come ultimately from Krishna's flute. So you could say the whole existence is based on Lord Krishna's flute, because all existence is really based on energy, on vibration. But for devotees of Lord Krishna, they don't like only such scientific or impersonal definition. They feel more attracted to Krishna's flute song. Now, as Krishna plays on his flute, when he was very young, stones melted. When he became a little more adept in flute playing, the effect of his flute made rivers stand still, and trees started to dance. In other words, their qualities changed. Moving things became immovable, and immovable things and beings movable. And when he played like this, the animals all came running towards him. But when Krishna brought his flute playing to perfection, he called through his flute his dearest devotees, the dear gopis. Now, this is the introduction to what we will hear today. Each, it's called Sharad Purnima, that is the first full moon of this Kartik season. It starts this year on the 10th of October. Lord Krishna goes with his dearest flute to the river Jamuna, and goes under one tree, which is called the flute tree, Vansi Vat. Vat is tree, and Vansi is a flute. And there he plays on his transcendental flute and calls the gopis from their homes to join him for a wonderful circular dance, where they all go in a circle, and there's a circle inside the circle, and so on. And Lord Krishna then dances with them the Rasa dance. It is described that the whole creation takes part in the dance of God. In fact, all the ragas and raginis, there are 33,000, come to enhance the musical occasion, and sometimes devatas are watching, and the Lord then starts his dance. It's very, very beautiful. It is enhanced by the tingling of his ankle bells. Lord Krishna sees that there are millions of gopis and he takes on millions of forms next to each gopi so that he could dance with each one as if he is only there for this particular gopi. Now, Lord Krishna has this one of his speciality, that he is able to maintain a very unique and special relationship to all his devotees. For instance, when he goes for the picnic into the forest of Vrindavan, all his cowherd boyfriends who eat have the feeling that Krishna eats only with them and looks only towards them. In fact, when Krishna goes with his cowherd boyfriends through the forest of Vrindavan, he pretends to become tired to give everyone a chance to serve him. At that time, one cowherd boy suggests, Govinda, I will sit under this tree and you can put your tired head on my lap. Now, all the cowherd boys want to do this service. They all want to be the lap of Krishna, so to say, or the cushion of Krishna. All the cowherd boys go to a tree and Krishna expands and in as many cowherd boys, and mind you, these are millions of cowherd boys, to just put his head on each lap of each cowherd boy. He doesn't expand only for eating with his friends. He doesn't expand only for sleeping. Krishna, in order to fulfill the desires of the devotees, especially expands to dance with the gopis when he calls them for the rasa dance. So in the midst, when Krishna plays in on his flute, all the gopis leave their homes and join Krishna's call. This is a lovely scene. It looks as if rivers of gopis come from the villages of Vrindavan and stream towards Vansivat, where their Lord plays the flute very nicely. And I must tell you that this action is something which proves the superiority of the gopis over all devotees. In the Vedic civilization, it was considered to be highly objectionable if an unmarried or married lady would leave the home and go in the midst of the dark season into the forest. But the gopis, you know, Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, and after she returned, there was one gossip or one talk that how can Ram take back Sita after she was kidnapped? It's not done. When a woman once leaves the home, then the suspicion is there that she will be with another man. And she, in the Vedic civilization, was not accepted back in the home. So the gopis, when they left their homes to come to Krishna in the midst of the night, they actually left their lives. If this would come out, nobody would accept them back at the home. And this shows the strength of the gopis' love to Krishna. They were so dedicated to Krishna that their social reputation was totally unimportant for them. It said, you see the greatness of a devotee, and this is maybe our first lesson, when there are testing circumstances. I would like to give you an example of the strongest animal which is there. Do you know which animal is the strongest? The elephant? someone said, the sloan. But when you look at a sloan, at an elephant, in normal circumstance, they look very slabby, you know, untrained muscles, you know, they really look like an old 80-year-old Croatian who has spent his life on the sofa before the TV. They don't look very strong. They look very slabby. But if you would chain an elephant to an iron chain, under these circumstances, you would see the strength of the elephant, because it would just make with the foot just bang, and the iron chain would rip into pieces. So in the same way, as you can see the strength of the king of the animals under certain circumstances, you can also see the real spiritual strength of a devotee under certain circumstances. That is when the devotee takes on a risk in order to serve Krishna. At that time, when you see that a devotee, even in a risky situation, will decide to go to Krishna and to no one else, you know this devotee is a strong devotee. At a time when there is a test in the life of a devotee, where he has to decide where to take shelter, is he taking shelter at Maya or in social arrangements, or is he taking shelter fully under Krishna's lotus feet? You immediately understand the quality of a devotee. I believe this is why we all are so impressed by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, because during his last months on this planet, he showed such an example of taking full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet exclusively, that we could understand where his heart was all this time. It was dedicated to Krishna. So you can also test your spiritual life and your determination in Krishna consciousness by finding out where do you take shelter in moments when you have to take either a risk or when you are tested as far as the direction in which your life goes. So the gopis came to Lord Krishna and they, by this step, they gave up all their social relationships. They broke through the dam of social convention to surrender entirely to Krishna. Now when they came, Krishna looked at them and said, "Why did you come?" It's a little unusual for unmarried girls to come in the midst of the night to an unmarried boy. Maybe you came to see the scenic beauty of the forests of Vrindavan. Krishna wanted to test them. The gopis looked down and made circles with their toes in the dust of Vrindavan. "Why do you ask this question? You know why we have come. You have called us on your flute, Govinda." "Oh," said Krishna, "it's nice that you came, but you should know that you can attain me by chanting my holy name and by worshipping my deity form and by hearing about me. And now go home." Gopi started to cry. Why could Govinda be so cruel? You will hear this question a few times in this lecture. Why could Krishna be so cruel? You will hear an answer which you have not thought about. So anyways, then Krishna finally, he walked with the gopis through the forest. They sang very nice songs. Krishna glorified the moon and the beautiful night, and he sang songs like ree 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 ree, ree ree. He sang, and the gopis were very happy with Krishna. All of a sudden, Krishna disappeared. He disappeared with Srimati Radharani. The reason why he disappeared with Radharani is because he loved Radharani most. But he was fearing if he would perform the rasa dance and the other gopis would not accept Radharani's supreme position, they might become jealous or envious of Radharani's position, and in this way the rasa dance could actually not take place. And this was the feeling which the gopis had. I will talk about this very briefly. After Krishna had disappeared with Srimati Radharani, Krishna left also Radharani. Radharani was in the forest and she cried for Krishna. She could not really tolerate Krishna's absence and she fell on the ground. She looked like a lightning flash which had fallen from the sky and now was lying full of light on the floor of Vrindavan. And this was the condition in which the gopis found her. When the gopis looked for Krishna, they found not Krishna, but Radharani crying for Krishna. And immediately, as they saw how Radharani cried for Krishna, tears of love, they understood, oh, Radharani loves Krishna the most. She is the best of all of us. They accepted, in other words, Radharani's supreme position when they saw her in her separation crying for Krishna. So they together built one search party, if you so want, and they went deeper and deeper into the forest of Vrindavan to try to look for Srimati Radharani, for Krishna. But finally, they arrived in places in the forest where not even the moonlight came, and they were understanding, we can find Krishna only when Krishna wants to be found. This is one principle in Krishna consciousness. You cannot find Krishna if you wish to find Krishna. You can only find Krishna if Krishna wants to be found by you. Otherwise, you will not be able to reach him. That's not possible, because Krishna is he's described as the factor who's eternally unapproachable by the endeavors of the senses. So when the gopis found out that Krishna was not willing to appear again, they went together to the Yamuna. The Yamuna was full of white sand at the banks, and it was full of light because the light of the moon reflected in the white sand. And they sat down. Do you know what they did in order to find Krishna? They started to chant his holy names in great longing. And as I said, this was the introduction. I want to come to a certain subject. As they chanted the holy names of Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna appeared in his most attractive form amongst them. This is explained in the Bhagavatam. Tasamma virabuch chori syamamana mukambujah Pitambara darashrakvi sakshan manmata manmata. Then Lord Krishna, a smile on his lotus face, appeared before the gopis. He was wearing a garland and a yellow garment. And he directly appeared as one who can bewilder the mind of Cupid, who himself bewilders the minds of ordinary people. It is described that the God of love has no body, because once he tried to agitate Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was so angry at him that he looked at him and burnt his body with his angry eyes. So since that time, the Cupid, or Amore, looks for a body. And what he does is, whenever he sees that there is someone on the bodily platform, and unprotected with spiritual enlightenment, he will go through the eyes into the heart, and then churn the heart. And you can see it mostly because in men the ears become red, and in ladies the cheeks become red. That means Cupid has entered the heart. I mean, you also become red in your cheeks and in your ears after good kirtan, but I'm speaking now about how Ananga, that means the unembodied Cupid, comes through the, either through the ears, or another way is through the, I'm sorry, through the eyes, I wanted to say, or another way is an entrance road is through the ears by the soft spoken words of the opposite sex. And he comes in the heart, and he's described as churning the heart, Manmata. So Krishna appeared like this before the beautiful gopis. It is described he stepped out of the forest of Vrindavan. And he knew the gopis were there singing his names, and also the Gopi Gita. And they were singing these songs. And Krishna came, and he felt a little guilty that he had disappeared from them. So Krishna took his, it's called his Pitambara. It's a garment which is a little like this. He took his Pitambara like this to reveal the beautiful garland which was on the chest, which was on his chest. It's a very beautiful garland which was decorating his transcendental body, because this garland was made by the gopis earlier, and he wanted to show, when he went like this before the gopis, see, I have your garland. I care very much for you. Don't think I disappeared because I did not care for you. I had my own thoughts. And later Krishna will speak about the thoughts, why he disappears from his devotees sometimes. So, now, when Lord Krishna appeared before the gopis, the gopis felt very attractive because he was laughing, smiling so sweetly, and he only had his garland on, and here was their beloved Govinda. But they wanted to make sure that he wouldn't disappear so quick again. So they put their own, some parts of the cloth which they did not need, and made a nice seat for Govinda. And they asked him to sit amongst them. And they said, we want to speak to you, Govinda. Govinda looked a little bit. Krishna looked a little, now the intelligent gopis will speak to me. And the gopis said, our subject will be love. We want to talk with you about love. Is it all right? Krishna agreed to this discussion. So the gopis looked at each other with eyes, and then they selected one speaker, and they can speak through their eyes, the beautiful gopis. They said, Krishna, we have a question for you about love. Please answer to us what you personally consider a good lover. No? What is your understanding how a lover should be? And my dear devotees, you will see this discussion is very important for us in this world. We always talk about love to Krishna, huh? Loving Krishna. But we should know what is Krishna's concept, how he loves his devotees, how he cares for us. What is his concept? You might, if you don't understand how Krishna loves, you might become frustrated after some time because you just don't know how he acts. Think of any relationship to any person where you feel a little insecure because you don't really understand him. You really don't understand how you should move about, how you should express yourself. And I think sometimes we feel like this when we go for a darshan of a spiritual master. We don't know. I mean, should we say, how are you, or hello, or what is all right to say? Hare Krishna. Please. No, it's very good. Welcome, welcome. This chair was reserved for you. We do feel a little insecure, no? Or have you ever done this? Like, I sometimes have met very famous people, and I just didn't know how they act, you know, and then I thought, well, can I be very informal and say, I brought a fig for you from Croatia, the smoke whip, the dobro smoke whip. You know, how to start a relationship. So especially when it is a relationship where you feel a lot of love for someone, if you don't really know how to approach this person, then you feel very insecure and you don't know how to deal with this. I think many of you know that sometimes men feel women can be so complicated. Now when I want to go to this woman and say, you are a nice person, I mean, how do I say it? I mean, maybe if I say, your eyes look like the moon, then maybe she will hate me and kill me for this, you know. Maybe it was not the right way to say, or women think about men. I would like to have a normal relationship to this person. You know, they are so groovy, so gross, and so less subtle. And if I now say something, maybe he will understand that I don't know what he will understand. Maybe he will not understand anything, this fool. You know, so this is there in human relationships, this insecurity. Now imagine, you want to make a relationship to Krishna in love, and you don't know what is Krishna's concept of love. So the gopis wanted to ask Krishna directly, what do you consider a good lover, Krishna? What is love in your eyes? Can you understand their feeling? They had just come to Krishna, giving up everything which a woman had in the Vedic civilization, that's her good reputation amongst the society, and Krishna had just sent them away. He had disappeared. So is this love? How do you love, Govinda? What is this is what the gopis wanted to know. And they had already an idea what Krishna's type of, how Krishna's love is, based on their experience. So they said, Krishna, there are three types of lovers. Who do you consider the best? There's one lover, He only loves or returns love when He is loved. This lover would say, I reciprocate only if you love me. Then I give you some love. But first you, huh? And then I give exactly what you have given to me, I give it back. Exactly that same amount of love. Krishna, there is a second type of lover. This is a lover who loves unconditionally. In other words, he feels, even if you don't love me, I still love you. Is this the perfect lover? Krishna, there is also a third type of lover in our observation. And the gopis were now thinking, Krishna is really this third type. This is a person who receives love, but who does not return any love. Do you know such people? They are usually ungrateful. Sometimes parents have this feeling that they have given their blood for their child and their money and their good hopes, and then the child, when it comes teen and teenager, goes like, you spoiled my love, my life. You made me what I am now, a helpless fool, and so on. The parents feel very much, this is an ungrateful lover. So Lord Krishna, so the gopis thought, Krishna, they didn't want to say it, but it was implicit. They felt, Krishna, we had given everything for you. We had run away from our relatives. We have nowhere to go now. And you run away from us. And don't show yourself. We had to walk for many hours through the dark forest, unprotected. Wild animals were there. Then we found Srimati Radharani. And she was lying on the ground. The whole ground was wet from her tears of separation. Krishna, something is not all right with your character. This is what the gopis, they didn't want to say it because they loved Krishna so much, but they felt a little bit like this. My dear devotees, don't you also sometimes feel that Krishna does not reciprocate or return your love? You have given up your the different things in the world, your moda. Some of you have given up your frisura. Some of you have joined the movement and they did selfless service. Some of you gave their best years. Now look at you. You have a big belly and no realization. And so on. What is Krishna's return? What is Krishna's? How does he? Some of you go on Sankirtan. And sometimes on Sankirtan, Vasudev can tell us, you hear only words of blasphemy. You try to distribute the Knigovsky, the books, and nothing comes. No one likes you. I think we often feel we go through deserts in our spiritual life. Is this Krishna's way of showing his love? So the gopis gave a multiple choice to Krishna, and they thought, Krishna, if he is now at least a little truthful, he should cross the third choice, that is, he is an ungrateful lover. There are four people who don't return love. This is interesting for you to know. It's people who are in this world. People, the first category is a person who is an Atmarama, that is like a yogi who's fully satisfied in himself. He doesn't need anyone. He's meditating. The second person who does not return, who's found to not return love sometimes, is an Aptakama. It is, he has desires, but they are satisfied. The third person is just Akrita Gyan. Akrita Gyan is a person who is just ungrateful by his nature. There are such people. You do something for them, but they're just so ungrateful. They cannot, sometimes they even cannot receive love. That is a problem which many of us have. When people do show us their love, we are maybe so disappointed with whatever we have experienced that we just don't want to get into it. No? But there are the others who are Akrita Gyan, just ungrateful persons. And then the fourth person who is an ungrateful person is a Guru Druha. That's the verses. He is a disciple who becomes an enemy to his spiritual master, despite of all the loving endeavors of his spiritual master. That's a very bad person, and I don't think we have seen many of these in Croatia up till now, but, oh Krishna, these are terrible. It's a terrible situation. So Krishna was surrounded by these wonderful devotees, the gopis, whom he loved more than he had ever loved. Krishna was, they were sitting there and they were looking at him. They looked like stars because they were so full of sparkling light. And Krishna looked like the moon. And they had now cornered him in their intelligent way. First of all, Krishna had to smile because the gopis had made a point without making a point. They had just asked the question to Krishna, who do you consider a good lover? Huh? Govinda, tell us. There are three choices which you have. One is like a merchant. Whenever he is loved, he returns the love in the same degree. The second is an unconditional, selfless lover. And the third is an ungrateful person who does not, or is a third, is a person who does not respond to any love. Not ungrateful, but he doesn't respond to love. So Krishna had to say something. And he had to say something very truthful. He had to say something for all times. He had to explain his own heart to his devotees, who would worship him for the rest of the life. Krishna had to say something to us also. And he started his talk by saying, my dear devotees, please understand, I never neglected you. I was never indifferent towards you. No, I reciprocate your love. But what I want to do is, in my dealings towards you, I want to increase your love. I want to make it stronger. I want to make it more voluminous, more. And the gopis heard this. They became very interested. Krishna had not come into their trap, like always. But he was now saying something very truthful about love, which they had never thought. They became interested and they began to lean forward to hear every word which Krishna would say in that forest of Vrindavan under the moon and the stars. And when they leaned forward, all of Vrindavan stopped with their noises. Even the trees didn't rustle. The leaves of the trees didn't rustle in the air. They all wanted to hear how Krishna loves his devotees. And Krishna continued to speak about this, and we are very fortunate. I have this word by word, so you will now hear the words of God, and please listen very careful. I personally believe if you understand it, tomorrow you will be a self-realized lover of Krishna. Or maybe this evening already. Listen very careful, and I will make sure that you will understand the words, because I will later give you something from the lips of God, from the lips of Krishna, some prasadam, which will put this love in your heart. But now you must lean forward. You must become silent. I have discussed today with the wind and told him to be silent for this. I hope he remembers it. You must know, Krishna continues, that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. I don't answer. My devotees are very much attached to me. But sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly in order to increase their love for me more and more. If I can be very easily approached by them, my devotees might think, Krishna is so easily available. So sometimes I do not respond. And now Krishna gives an example. He wants to give an example how he increases the love of his devotees or the thinking of his devotees of him. And he gives the example of a person who once had a lot of money and then lost it. This person will be able to think only of one thing, that's the money which he has lost. I'm speaking in Croatia, where many of us are poor. Have you ever experienced that you got something which you very much wanted to have, and then you lost it? Maybe a relationship also. Then you can only think of a beloved person who dies, maybe. Only you can think of this person. So Krishna comes into the life of the devotee and then disappears again, so that the devotee thinks more of him. If a person has no money, now he gives the example, but after some time accumulates some wealth and then loses it, he will think of the lost property 24 hours a day. Similarly, in order to increase the love of my devotees, sometimes I appear to be lost to them. And instead of forgetting me, they feel their loving sentiments for me increase. My dear friends, do not think for a moment that I have been dealing with you as I do with ordinary devotees. I know who you are. I know you have forsaken all kinds of social and religious obligations. You have given up all connections. I know. Without caring for social convention and religious obligation, you have come to me and loved me. And I am so much obliged to you that I cannot treat you as ordinary devotees. Do not think that I was away from you. I was near to you. I was simply seeing how much you were anxious for me in my absence. My dear devotees, there is one painting, an old painting, which shows how the gopis look in the forest for Krishna. They think Krishna has left them, but unseen to the gopis, Krishna is following them through the forest and hides behind the trees. Just looks from there at his devotees. I really feel that this is how Krishna also deals with the sadhakas in this world. He may sometimes disappear, and the devotee might feel left alone with his own problems, with his own decisions which he cannot make. But at that moment, Krishna is so very close to the devotee. He wants to find out how does the devotee make his decision at this moment. As I said earlier, the strength of bhakti can be seen in extraordinary circumstances, not in ordinary circumstances. The strength of the elephant is seen when he is chained with an iron chain to a tree, for instance, and when he goes. Or the strength of the strength of the gopi's love is shown in this situation where Krishna calls them in the midst of the night, and where they know if anyone finds out we go to Krishna, that's the end of our life in this society. The gopis decide for Krishna. So, my dear devotees, if you can learn this simple art, that when Krishna appears to be distant from you, at that moment, you go closer to Krishna, then you will be very quickly a very advanced devotee. Most of us are acting differently. When we feel that Krishna is not close or has maybe even stopped showing us his mercy, we may turn away from Krishna. We may turn to non-Krishna, to things which are not directly connected to Krishna or persons. And as a result, we might appear very... We will entangle us more and more into our material life. See, Krishna feels in his heart, he talks about this later in the 10th canto, that he himself, he is not a good lover. He feels like this in his tender heart, in his soft, loving heart. Krishna feels like this because he feels my devotees point all their love to me, but I am in my love many branched. I can't turn to only one devotee. I have to turn to all devotees so who love me. So I am many branched. Do you understand this word many branched? Please say it in Croatian. Yes, that's razgranate. Huh? That I'm too razgranate. I'm too razgranate. Yes, he feels. He says, you have given up everything of the world, even the Vedas. But I can't do the same. I have to follow by the Vedas. They are my words. You have given up your relatives, but I have Nanda and Yashoda and all my friends. You run out of your homes in the middle of the night without thinking where you will go next day. But, and even if your relatives try to stop you, you run just past by them, you break open the doors. But I am different, you know. I sneak out in the night. So that Mother Yashoda Nanda Maharaj don't know that I meet you. And then I return very secretly every time before the morning time, because if they come and they come in my sleeping room and they see I'm not there, they will just totally go crazy with pain. So I can't be so... I have to take care of the whole creation, of all the devotees. And you are only taking care of me. You are better than me. You are much better lovers than me, says Krishna. Now the gopis hear this. Just, you know, 10 minutes ago, or maybe 20 minutes ago, they just wanted to really give it to Krishna. Now Krishna is telling them, first of all, I always cared for you. I wanted to increase your love so that you really only, that you become ekanti, that means single-mindedly in your love. You only think of me. Huh? That's real love. You forget everything else. And now, after saying this, that he loved them so much that he wanted to help them in their own love to increase. Now Krishna says, I'm not a good lover. You are much better. He says this in this verse. Na parayeham niravat yasam yujam svasadu krityam vibhujya suta piva yama bhajamdu jarageya shrinkala samvrischatadva pratidyatu saduna. He says, I'm not able to repay my debt for your spotless service. Even within a lifetime of Brahma, you have defeated me. Your connection with me is beyond all reproach. It's first class. You have worshipped me. You have cut off all domestic ties which are difficult to break. Therefore, my dear gopis, Krishna takes his hand. Please let your own glorious deeds be your reward, your compensation. So when the gopis heard Krishna like this, they had cold tears, tears of happiness in their beautiful faces. And they looked at Govinda with their loving expressions. They were fully peaceful, they were fully satisfied with Krishna's love. And Krishna loves his devotees more than the devotees can ever imagine. Krishna loves them, and his love is the love which helps the devotees to grow their love. See, you can only come back to Krishna and into your relationship to Krishna when you love Krishna. This is your entrance fee, so to say. Oh, this doesn't sound nice. This is your qualification, Krishna Prema, which you must attain in this life. And Krishna has his ways even to devotees like us. And his way is usually that he disappears a little. He doesn't want to be a cheap lover. He disappears so that in the absence of him, we can prove our love, we can test our love, and ultimately increase our love. But we have to decide at the moment when we come to the crossroad of our life, the difficult situations, the times when Krishna seems to not be present, we have to decide not to go the left way, like we have gone for many millions of births. That is the way which brings us away from Krishna. We have to decide to go the right way. And any devotee who does this becomes so glorious. Any devotee who in the times of when it's a little difficult turns to Krishna, he makes advancement with a speed of 1,000 light years per second. I mean, this is some some way of saying very fast. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has so nicely described this. He says, the material world is like an anvil. Do you know an anvil? Anvil? And the so-called misery is like a hammer, and we, our love is like gold. The challenging situation in our lives can really bring our gold, purify our gold, the gold of our heart, the gold of our love, if we turn the right way and not the wrong way and go towards Krishna. Hare Krishna. This was very much close to my heart. I do hope that I could explain everything nicely. You made it very easy for me to explain this because you were attentive. I want to thank you very much. It's a very, very high subject. If you wish to read Krishna's words to the gopis about love, please, I have quoted from the Krishna book, chapter 32, I believe. Wait, I have to... Uno momento. This lecture I also want to give at the Govardhan retreat. You can hear it a second time. But there you hear all the parrots of Vrindavan. And I know, when I come to this part, everyone will be silent. No one will talk. Because the parrots want to also know, how does Krishna love? It's, yes, Krishna book chapter 32. It's, I think, the last, the paragraph before the last paragraph. Yes. Please find it and read it. It will really strengthen you in your Krishna consciousness. I want to see now if you have any questions. Yeah, Vasudev has one question, and Vedran and Nityananda Kari. These are the three questions which we can take today. Mm-hmm. There are two possibilities, says Vasudev, why Krishna can hide himself or reciprocate. One is because of our offenses or because we are not correct in our motives. That's why Krishna is not there. The other reason could be that he wants to increase our love and is just hiding. See, a devotee will always think of himself as being a faulty person. That I might have made a mistake. This is the expression of his humility. No? But from Krishna's perspective, he cares for every devotee, also the devotee who makes mistakes. He only turns his back to one mistake. If you do this one mistake, then Krishna turns his back, and then he really turns his back. He really runs away. That is when you make an offense against a devotee. You know, Dovasha Muni, the yogi, had made an offense against whom? Ambarish Maharaj. He had tried to kill him. As a result, the Sudarshan Chakra came and attacked him. And although he tried to flee, he had to flee all over the universe to escape the Sudarshan Chakra. Finally, he came to Lord Narayan and said, Narayan, you have such a good heart. I'm in a great problem. There is your Sudarshan Chakra which is killing me. You are known as Dayapara, full of mercy. Can you now show me your mercy? Krishna, the Lord said, you think I have a heart? I have no heart. It's a mistake. What? You have no heart? Yes, I have no heart. I have given my heart to my devotees. And you have heard my devotee. Now go to my devotee. He has my heart. He can forgive you. I can't. I don't have my heart any longer. Go to Ambarish. And of course, Govasha did it. So this is how Krishna feels. It's a loving relationship. And I think you have heard this when you heard how Krishna spoke to the gopis. How wonderful his words were. How encouraging. Ooh, so encouraging. Vedarane, where's Vedarane? Yes, Vedarane. Hare Krishna, Vedarane. When Krishna left Srimati Radharani, we read in the scriptures, it is because Radharani was feeling herself to be the most fortunate person in the universe to be so close with Krishna, and she became proud. And there's a verse in the Bhagavatam which says Krishna doesn't like his devotees to become proud. This is, so Veda wants to know, is this a reason or is there a deeper reason why Krishna left? The deeper reason is because he wanted to show the glory of Radharani's love. When the gopis saw her crying like that, they knew, oh Krishna, she loves Krishna the most. We don't love Krishna so much. But, you know, Krishna, in Krishna Leela, there are many levels. And one of the levels which is very, very relevant for us is this level of if we become proud, then Krishna also leaves momentarily. Mm-hmm. The many levels. Krishna's leelas are so instructive. Therefore, in this lecture series, I talk also on different levels. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow it will be a little bit more simpler. I thought I should speak also, if we want to talk about seeing Krishna through the eyes of his devotees, we must glorify the gopis who are the best devotees. But tomorrow I will have not such high devotees. I mean, every devotee is high, but it will be different, simpler lessons. So the last question will be posed by Nityananda Kari, and then you will get love of Godhead. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really reply to us who may be ordinary devotees. So Nityananda Kari has asked a question. He said how she said that Krishna explained to the gopis, don't think I don't understand the glory of your love. Please don't think I ever neglected you. I know you are not ordinary devotees, and I never acted with you like that. So she wants to know now, what's about us? I mean, does this Krishna explained a principle, but he explained a principle in relationship to his most extraordinary devotees. Can the same principle be applied to us who may be ordinary devotees? No? This is the question. It can be applied to us on a level which is ours. It is said, there is a very nice quotation in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the Tatenu Kampam Shloka, where it is said, where it is shown how devotees act in times of challenge when their karma comes their way. It is there explained if the devotee at that time takes full responsibility. Oops, I have done this and now I have this karma. But I will continue with my worship of Krishna. With my body, I will pay my obeisances and do service for Krishna. With my mind, I will plan different services for Krishna. With my words, I will glorify Krishna. If the devotee does this Nityanandakari, he becomes quickly the rightful inheritor of the kingdom of God. Many times when there are difficulties, the devotees ordinary people turn away from Krishna. But if a devotee at the times of difficulty turns to Krishna, like I told that this, if the devotees could learn this, then this principle relates to us. Krishna tests many devotees. Bali Maharaj, for instance, he took everything away from him. Everything. His whole kingdom. His whole Hare Krishna. Everything. His position. His own word of honor. His own guru he took away from Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj at that moment turned to Krishna. And that is his glory. And there in the purport it's described, that is how you can measure a devotee, Nityanandakari. Also us. Next time life gets tough for you, Nityanandakari, please turn to Krishna more, not less. And you will see, you will in a few moments become very glorious. Hare Krishna. I don't want to end here, but time is also there. I really want to give you now your Mahaprasad. This is from the Gundicha Mandir. It is when Krishna, when Lord Jagannath leaves his Mandir and comes to the Gundicha Gardens, which represent Vrindavan, then he turns into the flute playing cowherd boy. Then the devotees lovingly offer him prasadam, and this prasadam is considered to be the most extraordinary prasadam in the universe. It is said that huge battles were fought in the past because of this prasadam. No need, we have enough.